Help me, Jesus. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decay. And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Could I read that again?
Look out.
Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Well, I want to preach tonight, oh, I need the Lord's help, on the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Would you stretch your hand toward this preacher and ask God to give me a yoke-destroying anointing tonight that I could preach the precious gospel in your hearing? Pray for me. Come on. If you prayed through today, pray for me. Praise God. You know, you don't get in this very long till you realize there are some burdens to bear. Amen. And you certainly don't preach the gospel or pastor a church until you find out that there are burdens to bear if we're going to build. If we're going to build a wall, we must bear some burdens. Amen. For there's much rubbish in the way, and it's got to be moved. Somebody, amen, and I want to say this, somebody's got to do it. And I want to say this, sometimes you have to tell things that sound like bragging or something that is not at all. But I just one night I happened to be praying, praise God. I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray a while. And so I was praying for the backsliders in our county. And just praying and praying. And I had purposed in my heart to pray till the sun came up, praise God. And you know what? Purposed in my heart to do that. I felt the Spirit of God tell me somebody's got to do it.
Yes.
Come on now. I felt, I felt the Lord move on me to have this all-night prayer meeting. And I don't know whether He thought that I was going to shirk on Him or what, but He told me, somebody's got to do it. Come on now. Could I tell you tonight, amen, somebody's got to carry the burden. Amen. Somebody's got to move the rubbish. Hey, we got to build a wall. Hey, I know the world is not, amen, even thinking about this service tonight. And a lot of church folk, and some are even here, haven't got their mind upon the bearing of the burden of this service. They just came in and sat down. Amen. But somebody's got to do it. If the wall goes up, amen, somebody's got to bear the burden. Oh, help me preach a little tonight. I really need to. Praise the Lord. I want to. Nehemiah is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Nehemiah, one of my favorite characters. Amen. And before I preach on, amen, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Amen. I want to point your attention to the burden of Nehemiah. Amen. Who was sitting in the Babylon. In the prince, he was in the king's house, the cupbearer of the king. He had a great place to live. He was not in any kind of problem or any kind of affliction at all. Amen. But he got under a burden. Amen. For his people down in Jerusalem. Amen. The walls would fall down. Amen. The gates were burned with fire. Amen. I want you to help me preach tonight. Amen. Somebody's got to have a burden for this ministry. and for the gospel. If we're going to see the wall go up, amen, will you say praise the Lord with me tonight? In the first chapter, we see the Bible said, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chilu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Oh, I need to preach tonight. I don't know how long y'all going to bear with me. Amen. Back in the mountains, I got a 9 o'clock curfew on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hey, I hope y'all don't have that 9 o'clock curfew on the Holy Ghost around here. I'd like to preach a little bit if I could, since I'm up here and that's what they want me to do. And the Lord bid my heart tonight to preach to you. Amen. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. How many can relate to that scripture tonight among our holiness churches? Oh, we've got folks that would love to run the show or be out front. But brother, that's not the way. Amen, that the thing goes on. If somebody's got to bear the burden in the trenches and move the rubbish. Come on now. Where was Nehemiah? He was in the palace. Is that where you are tonight? Are you in the palace? Praise God. Amen, the palace has all the modern conveniences. The palace, amen, has prestige and comfort. Amen. Oh, Vance Havner, the Baptist preacher, he said it's always easier to comfort the afflicted than to afflict the comfortable. Amen. Come on now. And I think sometimes we as preachers like to get those sermons, amen, that comfort the afflicted instead of afflicting the comfortable. Well, I don't have one of them kind tonight. I want to afflict the comfortable tonight. Amen. Nehemiah was comfortable. Amen. But he made an inquiry of his brethren down in Jerusalem. Isn't that strange? In this day and hour, it's hard to find anybody that is concerned about anybody besides their self. Amen. Come on, church, and help me preach a little. The Bible said in the last days there would be perilous times because men would be lovers of them own selves. Amen. Why has the burden, amen, decayed tonight? The bearer of burdens, the strength has decayed because we do not have the same care one for another. If you get a burden, friend, you'll begin to inquire about your brother. Me a little tonight, will you? Praise God. It's the Bible said, Nehemiah talking, said, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. I'm in the first chapter of Nehemiah, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, help me, Holy Ghost, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are. Here's the report he got. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Amen. He said they are in great affliction and reproach. Amen. Oh, come on. I know there's a lot of affliction in our land. And I know there's a lot of reproach. Amen. But listen, somebody has still got to be concerned. Somebody's got to inquire. Somebody's got to find out. Because somebody's got to carry the burden. Come on now. Amen. We're in a day that is push button and microwave and instant. But brother, old time religion has never been instant. Amen. There's no microwavable religion. Amen. Come on now. There's no instant. Amen. Victory. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it. Brother, we've got a burden to carry. Somebody's got to do it. And the strength of the burden bearers, it has gotten weak in this hour. Stay with me just a moment, please. I want you to look with me tonight. The characteristics of a burdened heart. Are you burdened tonight for the gospel? Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you burdened for the gospel tonight? Amen. The wall is broken down, is the report. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Does that move you? It did Nehemiah. You know what it meant for the walls to be down? Amen. He told us what it was. He said it was a reproach for those walls. I feel you tonight. I feel you. I feel you just like I feel them folks at home. Amen. And you get to preaching. Our messages many times do not relate to anybody nearly in the service. They're sitting there. We're sitting there. The preacher is crying. The preacher is sweating. The preacher has prayed. The preacher has stayed up late. Amen. And the lay members come in. Amen. Like they're going to the show. They get them a ticket and wait for the troop to come out on the platform. But I want to tell you something tonight. We didn't sell tickets. And this ain't no show. Amen. Come on now. We go to the house of God. There's somebody needs to carry the burden besides the man of God. If only your pastor carries the load, you're going to have a gray-headed, broke-down pastor. Amen. That's shaking his head and wondering what in the world are we going to do. No, we don't need somebody, amen, to lay the block and engineer the wall. It's just trash that we need moved. I don't want to move no trash. I'm too weak to move trash. I'll have to agree with you. Most of our holiness people are too weak to move trash. Amen. That's why the wall is not being built. God help me, I'd preach a little. I want you to look at Nehemiah. He got earnest enough to inquire. How are they doing? When was the last time you inquired, how are they doing? Woo! Boy, I'm on it tonight, ain't I? I told you, I can't make you shout, but I can make you wish you had. Praise God. Amen. I want to ask you something. When was the last time? Amen. You inquired, how they doing down there at the church? Hey, come on now. I know we need to have a burden for the lost. And you know how you have a burden for the lost? You get a burden for the ministry. Amen. Come on now. Amen. How important is the ministry? How important is the gospel? How important is that wall down there at God City? And it stays up. And the gates stay up. Woo! You see, walls represent power. Walls represent confidence. Walls represent separation. Huh? Do y'all understand the importance of walls tonight? You know, a preacher can preach holiness till he gets branded as a loony. And there sit them pious church folk. Never open their mouth. And most of my folks in my church believe what I preach, or they wouldn't be there. But when I get across on a little holiness, even the ones that are living it to the T gets the tuck head and the shut mouth and the head drop and look around and smile a little bit. Kind of like, well, he's at it again. Well, I want to ask the late members, don't you care that the wall stays up? Well, somebody holler bless his poor heart, will you? Come on now. Hey, I've had mamas fight me and kick and buck against me. One night I got sick of it. Amen. Well, sanctifiedly sick. Hallelujah. And I looked back there. I had about a dozen young folks sitting on the back, lounged out like this, you know, just lounging. I went back there and found P. peanut wrappers back there and tater chip bags and carving on the pew. And oh, man, I'd had all of that I could handle. And I was bearing down on them, and moms and dads were getting mad. It bothered me for about 10 seconds. And I finally got tired of it, and I asked those children, those teenagers sitting in the back, I said, "Hey," I said, "your moms and dads are getting on my case for preaching to you like this. I said, I want to ask you, do you want me to tell you the truth or do you want me to tell you a lie?" Amen. How many want you me to tell you the truth? All 12 of them raised their hand. They wanted me to tell them the truth. Mom and dad kind of took, amen, a little tuck head. Amen. But I'll tell you, there was 11 of them got saved that night. Hey, listen to me. Are you interested in the gospel? It might be the only thing that keeps your children out of hell. About to get ahead of myself here. I want you to notice the burden of this man, Nehemiah. He inquired. Amen. And they told him, "The walls are down. The reproach. Do you care what they say about your church? Do you care what people say about holiness?" Brethren, I've had export ministries time and again in my church. Amen. And I know these men are concerned how those children act when they come into my church. And that's why every time I've ever had a ministry, I've had a move of God. Come on now. These boy preachers, amen, that pray and walk the floor and fast, and we come in and lounge back and say, "Come on, boy, take a shot at us." But I want to tell you something. Amen. The gospel. Amen. Somebody, the boys have got to get under the load of the gospel. Amen. For whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But hey, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they, hey, come on, believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless they be a preacher? And how can he preach unless he be sent of God? Is the ministry important to you? Hope the Holy Ghost will help me tonight. I told God today, I said, "Lord, preach me like it's my last message. I want to preach to these folks tonight." I want you to notice Nehemiah. He inquired and he got the news. The walls are broken down and the gates are burned with fire. And he said, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept." What is a characteristic of a burdened heart? Amen. Where are our tears? Come on, help me preach. Amen. I can't tell if I'm doing any good. You ought to have a red light flash or something when I start doing you some good. Amen. It helps me to know. Amen. When Nehemiah heard the word, amen, they're not doing too good. What did you do when you heard the last scandal? When you heard the last church problem? When you heard the last, amen, bit of holy gossip? Amen. How did it affect you? I'll tell you how it affects most of us. We just pack it and say, "Well, I knew it was coming anyhow." But brother, that's not a burden of the gospel and a burden for the church. When we hear that there's a reproach, when we hear the gates are burned, we ought to sit down and we ought to weep. Oh, Brother Andy, what an indifferent church age that we live in. Amen. Oh, where are the tears? It's time, church, for the tears once again. Oh, it is. It is. It is. It is, preacher. Amen. Where's the burden? Where's the characteristic of a burdened church? Where's the tears? What, I get this feeling you're not helping. Oh, they cry at the movies. They cry when they balance their checkbook, made an error, and they're $100 in the hole. It's easy to get a burden about our own personal loss and grief. We can cry all day. But when was the last time you cried over the gospel? Oh, y'all not helping this preacher. Philippians 3 and 18. Paul said he was talking about false teachers. And he said, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. How did Paul tell it? How did Paul tell it? How did he tell it? He told it weeping. How do we tell? Amen. About those enemies of the cross. Church, I'd like to help you tonight. We've got a wall to build. Amen. Before we can build it, there's some rubbish in the way. But nobody has the heart. Everybody's indifferent. There's no tears falling. Amen. We need to get back to the burden of the Lord. Amen. Our Savior. Amen. He wept over a lost city of Jerusalem. The tears of God through the eyes of a human. I want to tell you tonight, if you're going to be a Christ-like individual, you're going to weep over the church. Oh, what an indifferent hour that we live in. Nehemiah heard the news. He sat down. We don't even have time to sit down. He sat down and he wept. Oh, it's easy to get tore up over something happens to us, isn't it? Oh, I wish I could do better. I was driving Brother Collins down the road one day. I saw this little black dog, cute little old fella. A little terrier-like dog, black. He bounced across the road and I was, you know, buzzing on up the highway. He was a pretty dog, but he wasn't too smart. He turned and he went back right under me. And I hit that little guy. Oh, I heard him yelp out. And I said, uh-oh. I stopped. I see what I could do, you know, if I need what I need to do. And I heard something, then it really got with me. I heard a little boy say, oh, Blackie. Ooh. Blackie, he said, you killed Blackie.
Here I'm down the road.
A murderer. This little guy, he touched my heart. He came running down the road and fell on his knees, and he looked at that dog and he said, oh, you're not Blackie, you old dumb dog. Well, I'll have to tell you, I was relieved. Huh? But you know, that may be a little humorous for the message I'm preaching, but there's a point I want to make. I saw you cry over Blackie a while ago, but when you found out it wasn't your Blackie, your tears dried up. And that's where the church is tonight. If it's you, yours. Praise God. I feel like preaching. I don't know if I will or not. But I'm going to tell you, it is time that we became like our Lord and look out over a lost world and over an apostate church world. And instead of pointing the finger and saying the dirty dog, amen, we ought to say, my God, I've got a burden. Amen. The walls are down. The world is in. What are we going to do about it? Somebody's got to do something. But aren't we fickle? I'm not jumping on you. Are we fickle? Huh? A few years ago, not too long ago, the Lord burdened me for somebody's church besides my own. Huh? Now don't let me get too close to you here tonight. But he burdened me. Amen. There were other fields besides my own field. I'm preaching on the burden. The strength of the bearers of burdens have decayed. Where's the revival gone? I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. God is still in the revival business. But he is looking for somebody. Amen. To carry the load. Amen. But nobody wants to be discomfited. To be uncomfortable. But not Nehemiah, friend. Hey, church, I'm preaching to the highway tonight. Right out in the middle of the highway I'm preaching. And I want to ask you, where's your burden for this church? Oh, I've got a burden, preacher. When was the last time you sat down and wept when somebody backslid? Oh. You know what else he did? After he sat down and wept, he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Our young folks are growing up thinking we're building our church on a fast song. Well, I done told you I was a shouter now. Brother, if I hadn't had the load of this message on me tonight, I knowed both of them songs. Amen. And I'd have sure as hell showed you the heels of my shoes, too. I believe in dancing in the Spirit. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Our young folks, I've seen them get in youth rallies, amen, and one girl shout, and that was the key for nothing to hit it. And the shouting domino sisters. Huh? Come on now. Like dominoes, they were looking out of one eye. I'm not making fun. I like for children to get in. Amen. And even when they're not saturated in the Spirit, if other folks are running, there ain't nothing wrong in my book with him running along with me. I'm glad my 9-year-old boy leads around sometimes. But can I tell you, the burden of the church is found sitting at an altar prayer with tears coming down your face in prayers. Amen. You're not helping this preacher in prayers and fastings. Y'all not with me yet, but I'm just preliminary. So maybe when I get down to the meat of this thing, y'all help me a little bit. Praise God. Remember, no curfew on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I want to preach to you a little. Oh, if I didn't do anything, Brother Setzer, in this revival homecoming camp meeting, amen, but get one person to get under the load at Brother Collins, amen, and instead of just coming to church to see what kind of program he stirred up for us, Brother, you somewhere, amen, would seek the Lord and weep and cry because of the work of the Lord. He fasted and prayed. That's kind of old-fashioned, isn't it? I said, that's kind of old-fashioned, isn't it? Huh? Is that the modern-day method and mannerism? One guy, I was in a meeting, and one guy came to the camp meeting. And we got out in the dining hall talking. He got to tell me about miracles that he'd seen in his ministry. I was impressed till he said this. He said, yeah, I used to do a lot of fasting. And it started hurting my stomach. And I had to quit. I wanted to say, when I fast, I hurt all over. Huh? I don't think y'all with me on this. Huh? Come on, church! I'm not talking about being a church member now. I'm talking about being a bearer of the burden of the gospel, of the work of the Lord. It's not your work or mine, but it's the work of the Lord. It's the gospel. Amen. It's the wall around the city of God. It's time that somebody got under a burden. What about the sweet hour prayer? What about the power in prayer? What about the burden of prayer? Brother Bill Tinsley said he knew a man that went to World War II. And he said that one old boy's mama was a praying woman. And she prayed over a prayer cloth and sent it overseas with him. Pinned inside of his jacket pocket, he kept it close to his heart at all times. They got in a battle and men were dying. and it looked like the whole company was going to get wiped out. He reached in that foxhole and found his prayer cloth. You got any here? He found his prayer cloth. Amen. And he had a buddy in the foxhole next to him. And he looked at that prayer cloth and he asked his buddy. He said, "Hey, amen, things are getting hot." He said, "I've got a prayer cloth here. Do you believe in prayer cloths?" And that old country boy said, "You better believe I believe in prayer cloths." He said, "Give me half of it." And he said, "Brother Tinsley," said that old boy, he talked to him himself just not too long ago. And he cut that prayer cloth and he gave it to that other boy. There was only two survivors, amen, in that ambush. And I want you to guess who they were. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Where's the burden of the church, of the lay members who can't sing, who can't preach, but who can pray? Hey, hey, until revival comes.
I gotta hurry. I wish I could do better. Nehemiah said he sat down and he wept. If all we did tonight was come up here and fall on this altar and weep. Sincerely weep. Weep. And then weep. And then weep some more. And then weep. And then weep until we became like Jesus. And we wept from our depths of our heart. Until we became like Paul. And when we looked out over this apostate, backslid, worldly preaching outfit, amen, we'd look at them with tears. And we'd say, "They're the enemies of the cross." Oh, I wish you'd help me preach tonight. Amen. Then we need to get a burden. A burden to fast. Amen. A burden to pray. Amen. What is all this talking about? Amen. We're trying to build the wall. Amen. But notice something else. Oh, I wish I could do better for you. In the second chapter, after he prayed and fasted and he wept, amen, he went before the king and he said in verse 5, "I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send," who? "Send Brother Beam." Amen. Here is the characteristic. Oh, y'all sitting mighty quiet. Send Brother Collins to visit the widows and the orphans. Amen. Send this youth pastor, amen, to visit the hospital. Send Sister Collins, amen, to pray and cry all day. No, that's not what Nehemiah said. After he'd wept and cried, Brother Kenny, he said, "Send me and I will build the wall." Did you hear this tired preacher tonight? I said, he said, here is the characteristic of a true burden. Send me and I will build. Now, well, I'm getting down here to preach to you. You see, I'll go a little further. Y'all still with me? How about out there in the back? Are you with me back, y'all? I got two, three, back and four. He gave him permission. He went down in the next chapter, or right on down in the second chapter, verse 11. "So I came to Jerusalem. And I was there 3 days. And I arose in the night." Recognize that? He said, "I arose." I'm going to tell you, church, if there ain't some more folks start getting up and seeing what's wrong and what needs to be done, we're going to be hurt. Are you listening? Come on now. I'm not worrying you, am I? Am I worrying you, plumb out? Hey, man.
He arose up in the night, and the Bible said, I and some few men with me, that's the way it usually is, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley. He began to survey the difficulties, survey the damage. Amen. He began to, it ain't hard to get somebody to come to church and look around, you know. It ain't hard to get them to come and, you know, look around, see if there's any dust on the furniture. Where's your thermostat at? That's always a prime target. Where's it at? Praise God. I wish I had some bifocals. You know, Brother Addis told me he was driving down the road one day, saw people out in a churchyard having a sale, and he stopped. He said, what's going on here? I mean, they was having a sale. They was selling church furniture, PA system, music, songbooks. Brother Addis said, what in the world's going on here? And the guy was there. He said, do you go to church here? He said, well, I used to. They shut her down. And they're selling off their stuff. Do what? And Brother Addis said, what's wrong? What happened? He said, well, it all started over the thermostat. It all started. I feel like I got some thermostat checkers sitting here looking at me right now. I just felt a chill on me when I woke. Praise God. Hey, God help me. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me tonight. I'm in quicksand here. But I'm going to tell you something. If all you do is to come to church is to find fault and see what they're not doing to suit you, you ain't coming for no good at all. Praise God. No, Nehemiah did not get up from the rolls to find out what was the problem, who to criticize and who to talk about and who to get on the phone and talk about. But he looked around, amen, the house of God to find out how bad the shape that it was in and what he could do to fix the problem. And I want to tell you something tonight. We need some more folks with a burden. Instead of criticizing and finding fault, find out where the problem lies and go to work to clean it up. Well, I thought y'all'd be shouting by now. So I'm going to have to finish my message. You know what he did? He surveyed and he found some problems. I want to tell you something. And I'm not being critical. I preached in a lot of states this year. And I ain't going nowhere to pick. And I've got a church of my own. And there's been lots of times I've rose up, so to speak, to walk around that little church and find out just how bad a shape it was in. I want to ask you tonight, have you took a look lately to see how bad? Amen. But I want you, when you're looking, amen. I know there's people. I sense trouble. I know there's people that live in a fool's paradise. They don't see nothing wrong nowhere. It's all blessing, prosperity, and everything is going great. Well, to hear some of them tell it, praise God. Oh, I ain't going into that. But I want to tell you, we cannot be an ostrich and stick our head in the sand. We must face the facts. We must face reality. Yes, sir, we are having serious problems with the world coming in. The walls are down. The gates are burned with fire. Yes, we are having apostate trouble. Yes, we are having preacher backsliding problems. Yes, sir, it has been quite a while since we've seen a divine miracle and a healing right before our eyes. It's been a long time since we had a Holy Ghost move. Amen. Where people were filled with the Holy. Hey, you're not helping this preacher preach. I know we see one here and one there, but I want to ask you tonight, amen, in this powerful church that we are a part of, amen, do you think there's something that needs to be done to build up the wall? Amen, it's time that we took a survey.
I'm up there this tonight. As we survey the problem, the ruin, let us measure this ruin according to the remedy. Are you with me? I'm not here to preach you gloom and doom tonight. That is not my mission. But I am going to preach reality. We have some serious problems. But we also have a remedy. Come on now! Oh, brother, help me preach a little more. Amen. We need to measure. I look out over a ruined society. Amen, Brother Collins. But I also read what the Bible says. He's able to save even to the uttermost. Nehemiah did not shirk when he saw the rubbish and the trash in the way. And I want to preach to you tonight. You do not need to give up. It's so bad I can't do anything about it. Has God put a burden? No, you do not shirk from the burden when you see the magnitude of the problem, but you get under a burden, amen, to build the wall. I need to go a little further. Do you have a burden tonight? Or is the strength of the bearers of burden decayed? My God. Would you lift your hands and ask the Lord to help me finish this message tonight? You gotta help me, Lord. You gotta help me, God. Do you know tonight? Many people don't want the load. But you know Jesus said we must deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Him. Amen. A lot of folks don't want to be burdened. They want to stay indifferent. They want to stay non-committal. But Jesus would not allow us as Christians, if we're going to have a part in the kingdom, we've got a burden. We must pick it up. We must get back. We must be like Nehemiah. We must encourage ourselves in the Lord. There's a great work to be done. Now stay with me. I'll try to be as brief as possible. Amen. We need, as Nehemiah did, we need to understand how great this work is tonight. Huh? When Nehemiah was tempted on the wall after he got it up, Nehemiah was tempted to come down. They tried threatening him, and then they tried making a coalition with him, making a covenant with him. And they said, Nehemiah, why don't you come down? And you know what the word was he said back to them? He said, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Are y'all going to help me a little more? I wonder if you realize tonight just how great this service is tonight. I wonder if you realize how great it is to be called to preach the gospel. I wonder if you realize how great it is to teach young folks the word of the Lord. I know the world does not see the greatness of what we're doing, but you and I, we must realize how great the work. Oh, if we don't, we'll be tempted, amen, to come down and compromise. Amen. Come on now. But listen, this is the greatest work in the world. In eternity, it'll never be known what kind of employment you were in. Whether you was a machinist, a mechanic, an engineer, it'll never be known whether you made the minimum wage or if you was a multimillionaire. It'll never be mentioned. So I'm about to say tonight that this work, oh, and I'm preaching kind of solitaire tonight, but I want to tell you that this work here is greater than your work. It's greater than your job. It's greater than your employment. Hey, ladies, when you get to heaven or get to eternity, amen, nobody will even know what name you had.
Amen. We think sometimes if our name is Rockefeller or amen or Kennedy or amen that we are something or other. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something more important than your name and your genealogy. It is the work of the Lord. I know people are not understanding that, but if we do not engage in this great work, we may not see our loved ones go to heaven. Amen. We would not come down, Brother Collins, 45 years. Oh, how great. I do not take for granted the dispensation of this gospel, this ministry that I have of men like you. 45 years of living good and preaching right and standing against the devil. It is great. It is wonderful. 52 years for Brother Moore. How great is it to you? You will never a burden until you realize how great it is. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. Oh. Oh. We come to church. We bring our children. But have we stressed to them how great a work they're involved in? I want to tell you right now, I'm not a bit ashamed that at 19 years old, my wife was 17, we started into the preaching business. I have four children. They were all born after my call to preach. They have been raised in a preacher's home, if whatever you call what I'm doing. Yeah. I am not a bit embarrassed. I have a 19-year-old daughter. You never know it, would you? This exuberant youth here before you. I have a 19-year-old daughter that has lived in a holiness home. I am not taking my head down. I am not being ashamed. I am not feeling cheated. And my children tonight, everyone are saved. Amen. And have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Huh? My 9-year-old boy, he's been running around the church since he was 4 years old. Amen. And when the Spirit moved at 4 years old, he would know just when to take off. Come on now. You know your people. Are they wore out, ready to eat? Huh? Gonna listen a little more. I feel like preaching a little more to you tonight. Do you realize how great, how wonderful this work is? We do not have time to come down. Amen. This is the greatest thing. Amen. Somebody said, What do you want your boys to be? It ain't hard for me. I say, I want them to be preachers. You say, brother, you can't call them boys to preach. Oh, I can make everything ready, make it real easy for the caller to call them, keep them out of the hell holes of this world, and keep them full of the Word of God, and pray around them and get them full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, I was praying about this, amen, one day, and I felt the Lord tell me, what greater thing could your sons do? Here's my oldest boy sitting right here. What greater thing could your sons do? We've got enough doctors. We've got all the lawyers, more lawyers, and we can keep up with. But I tell you, hey, I've heard a lot of church folk, I've heard a lot of preachers' wives that said, oh Lord, I hope my girl don't marry a preacher. Why you're, well, thanks for Casey to kick in here. I want to know what in the world's on your mind. What would be better than your daughter marrying a holiness preacher and praying and shouting and giving the gospel? You see, our mentality is the gospel's cheap. It ain't worth nothing. But that's why you don't have a burden. You've got a greater burden to work that overtime. Amen. To go to that mall to get that new outfit than you do to preach the gospel and see people saved. The reason is you don't know how good this is. I said you don't know how good this is. How it? Come on down. on down, Brother Colin. Ain't got time. I love what he said. Why should I the work cease so I could come down to you? You need to tell the devil, why would I want to come down to you? This is the greatest thing. Woo! You care if I shout a little bit? Praise God. I am involved in the greatest thing on earth. The house of Stephanus. I say that right? Kind of a odd bunch. They were hooked. You ever run into an addict? I done got you quiet enough, it don't worry me now. You know what an addict is? They had to have it, man. I had an old buddy, bless his heart. He got hooked on something. I took him to church, and more, he was hooked bad. And that thing had him. And the devil had him addicted. And you know, I hardly ever see any of our church folk at Missionite Church go into withdrawals. Huh? Have you? Sometimes I do for them, but I don't ever see an addict till he can't get his fix. And some of y'all ain't had a fix, spiritually speaking, in 20 years. And you ain't having a bit of symptoms. Smile at me. Smile now. The Bible said the house of Stephanus, they were addicted to the ministry. Oh, our folks are hooked on tobacco and Nintendo and love stories and television and soap operas and, hey, and entertainment and pleasure. And their hooks are bad. Hey, man, if they miss one as the world turns or stomach turns or whatever it is, if they miss one, they can't hardly stand it. Hey, man, I wish tonight that we in the house of God would get addicted to the ministry and the word of God and the power of God. Hey, man, that we'd see our church at the highway of holiness go over for God. The walls go up, the gates go up, and the work of the Lord go on. I want you to preach a little more. You see, we don't want to get involved. What about old Nehemiah? He got involved. A burden will get you involved. Send me and I'll build it. Oh, how I appreciate my wife. She's helped me through every lick of this. Bless her faithful little heart. I'm not done yet. Amen. We're bystanders in this. Can I walk down the aisle a minute? We're bystanders. How about that? Bystanders. Oh, I love for them to go out to church after I've preached me one of them middle of the road scorching sermons, you know, and they'll come meet me at the door. Oh, brother, you're something else, they say. And just leave me to imagine what that something else is. And they say, I appreciate what you stand for. And then I get to wondering what they stand for. Come on now. Y'all going to help me preach a little? I'm going to tell you, you'll be committed. You cannot be neutral in this. You've got to carry. You either carry the burden of the Lord or you'll carry another burden. Come on now. Amen. We cannot be a bystander. Amen. I like this. Amen. I like this story in the book of Mark, chapter 16. Well, that old boy, his name was Simon the Cyrene, was just passing by, saw a crowd, saw a man going up a hill with a cross on his back. Hey, man, he just came looking in. Hey, man, and all of a sudden, they compelled him. Hey, man, he was light as a feather, but he felt this compelling force grab him by the arm and say, carry this man's cross. That's a wonderful story. Are you still with me tonight? Simon carried the cross of the Lord. I think that was divinely inspired. I think his name went in that black book. He went down as a memorial. Here was a passerby. Here was a bystander. Here was a gazer. Here was somebody not involved. And all of a sudden, Son. He became much involved carrying the cross. Hey, do you know who the Lord put the cross of the ministry upon? Not the angels. He put it upon me and you. That's amazing. I don't know how you think about that, but that's amazing to me. How Simon of Cyrene could carry that rugged cross that Paul would say, I glory in the cross. And old Simon could say later, amen, Paul glories in the cross. I carried the cross. Woo, come on now. Amen, I'd like to preach a little more to you. I'm about done. But I'd say you're here tonight and you're just passing by. You're just gazing. Amen, you're not involved. But I'd like you to feel a compelling force. Amen, and pick up the cross of the Lord. You know what I love about that? Imagine this, Brother Collins. Amen. Who do you think was the closest man to Jesus up that hill? Huh? Who do you think in his last moments on the earth? Who do you figure was probably the closest one to him? I'd say old Simon was. Yeah. And you know, knowing the Lord like I know him, and as compassionate as he was, Brother Rawls, yeah, I don't think he let that man carry his cross without some kind of reward.
That's right.
I don't. I really don't believe it. Am I anointed or not? I think I am.
Yeah. Huh?
Come on now. I can just imagine. I know, Brother Collins, how the Lord has done me. What little bit of the carrying of the cross I've done. I've felt Him come to me. Amen. And just like that man that Brother Gene Huff told about. That man that was in the arrested. The Japanese, I believe, had him. You probably heard Brother Huff tell it. How they took him in there, Brother. I know I'm preaching too long. I'm known for that. And that man, they beat that man. All they asked him to do was tell a lie.
Yeah.
And he would not do it. Brother Huff heard his testimony in person.
Yeah.
They took that man and poured hot tea down his nostrils. And then they would get up on his chest and jump on his chest, push that tea out of his nostrils and lungs. And he'd revive, and then they'd pour it again. They beat him with reeds so that when he passed a window and looked at his reflection, he looked like an African. He was so dark. They whipped him one day with bamboo reeds so he could not hardly stay conscious. Then they took him in a room and they hung him upon the wall, and his back was hurting so bad. And he said that those guards, he listened to that guard's footsteps as he walked down the hall. And there he hung for his witness, for his faith, carrying the cross. Does that embarrass you? And he said he would so much, Brother Beam, want to reach around and rub that place on his back. But his hands were braced to the wall. He said as that guard's footsteps went out of sight, he heard some more footsteps coming up the hall. And he thought, what now? But he said as them footsteps got closer, there was a peace came in that place. You can believe this or not believe this, I believe this. And he said, while he lay there on that wall, a presence came through that door. And he felt like it was the Son of God Himself. You know, you can take it for what it's worth. But he said whatever that presence was, it soothed his back. And this man said, Lord, if you'll come back tomorrow night, I'll go through this again tomorrow. Huh? Are you listening to me? Amen. I can see old Simon, amen, as he came home from that ordeal.
His clothes were ripped. His back was bloody. His family was inquisitive. Daddy, why do you have this mark upon your back? And this man smiled and said, today I met the most wonderful man that I've ever met. And I carried his cross. And these marks are where I carried the cross. And I say, Alexander and Rufus and Mrs. Simon, they said, I've got to meet this man. And the Bible tells us that they did meet him because Daddy carried the cross. You still with me? It would pay us to bear the burden of the Lord. I don't care if my children today are not bitter on God. They're not bitter on God. They love God. Amen. I don't care to show them. Look right here. The blood, the torn clothing. That's why I carried the cross of the Son of God. Are you carrying the gospel cross tonight? Stand with me in this place tonight. How great! Brother, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to go. You know, we've been hanging around 11 o'clock out here at the Burger Barn. Hey, man, let's just hang in here just another minute. Well, I'd like to get somebody interested in seeing this thing go over top for God. Get the walls back up. Get the yanks back on. Hey, it's as much your responsibility as anybody else's. Hey, man, you may be a passerby, but tonight the Lord is trying to compel you. Why don't you take up this gospel cross and win somebody and see somebody change for the glory of God?